Hi, welcome to In Perspective. I am Bob Branco, and with me, as always, is my good friend Alan Hensel. How are you?
I am doing great today, Bob. I hope you are.
I am. Thank you very much. You know, Al, we've gotten several requests from listeners that they would like to know a little bit about us. I know we've been doing this program now for over a month, and people are used to it. So let's take a moment and tell our listeners about our backgrounds. I'll start with me. I went to New Bedford Public Schools up until 1969. Then I attended the Perkins School for the Blind from 1969 to 1977 when I graduated. I went on to Bristol Community College, received an associate's degree in business administration, transferred over to SMU, which is now UMass Dartmouth, where I received a bachelor's in finance. I then worked at various jobs as a customer service rep, as a car parts orderer, as a writer, as a health benefits counselor, a telemarketer, a switchboard operator, on and on and on. Today, right now, basically, I just do freelance writing. I do some editing for a private client, and so on and so on. I am still looking for work, and we'll just see how it goes, God willing.
That's great, Bob. And before I launch into mine, I want to tell everybody, I want to add a little bit to Bob's bio, because the people who have been so positively affected by Bob within the blind community, have a lot to thank Bob Branco for. I'm just going to say that Bob and I go back to 1969. And then, of course, I'll get into that in a sec, but when I left Perkins in 1972, I didn't see Bob again until he resurfaced on my radar in at or around the year 2005, give or take a year or two. And what Bob was doing is he was getting folks who he knew and folks who he networked out to during that period of time, and he's still doing it today. He was getting in contact with all of us that he could find, and he was asking us to kind of, you know, talk to him. He sort of eased us all into the blind community of people who are always there. And Bob Branco, I will speak for firsthand, has put a tremendous amount of effort in the time that I've known him in enhancing and in growing the blind community across the entire country and probably even across the entire world with various activities that he does. So, you know, he gave you a very light version of his bio, and I'm telling you people right now, there's a heck of a lot more altruism from Bob Branco, and I think many, many of us, even who are listening to this show right now, can directly thank Bob very much for bringing us all closer together. Now, so I'll just give you a little bit about myself. I'll try to make it as brief as possible. There isn't much there. I went to elementary school prior to Perkins in a school for disabled or special needs children called Uppsala Street in Worcester. I went to Perkins starting in 1967. I got a great elementary school, middle school education through 1972, at which point I went off into the public school system. I graduated high school in 1978, went to Fitchburg State College, and graduated 1983 with a bachelor's in psychology. I decided to take a different turn and was hired by a company called Denison. It's now Avery Denison Corporation. We make labels, all sorts of different types of office supplies. And I've been working to the present with that company. I did pretty much everything from customer service to telemarketing. I packaged diskettes when I first got there in 1984. And I'm currently a senior inside sales account manager, and or the glorified name for a telemarketer for about 400 dealers nationwide. So It's been pretty rewarding, and I love some of my hobbies include meteorology reading, and I love to talk about different things. One of my mottos every single day is to learn 100 new things each day. So I love to learn. I love to listen. When coaxed, I have an opinion, and just loving life and thanking the good Lord that I'm blessed with so much. So that's Al Hensel.
Great. Now, our subject matter for today is a subject that we've been hearing an awful lot about for the past couple of years or so, a subject called non-24. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with non-24, let me give you what I believe is a brief explanation of what it is. According to sources, blind people have non-24 when they have sleep disorder. In other words, they have problems sleeping at night, and every once in a while they want to go to sleep during the day, so their rhythm is off. They call it circadian rhythm, I believe.
Actually, Bob, can I give you the definition that's on the official non-24 website?
Fine, go right
Okay.
ahead.
So they define it, generally speaking, as chronic circadian, I'm sorry, circadian rhythm sleep disorder. And what that basically, what I've read in brief, is that we each have a master clock. Every human being, every animal who is diurnal has a circadian clock. Humans' circadian clocks, for some inexplicable reason, are roughly a little bit over 24 hours. It could vary from 24 hours and 1 minute to as much as 27 and a half, 28 hours. Sometimes, in rare cases, it'll go to 30 hours. Now, the theory behind non-24 is that totally blind people, who are the ones being singled out in this effort, they're the ones that are being identified as the people who possess or who sometimes are diagnosed with non-24. Totally blind people, they're saying, are especially or solely affected by this particular disorder because, in normal circumstances, most people, when they see light or when daylight comes, when they intuitively know that it's the beginning of their day, say, and then when the absence of light occurs and it's the end of their day, their brains produce a chemical to allow them to a hormone allowing them to be awake, and then at night, consequently, one that allows them to be asleep. Those who they say are affected by non-24 are people who because they're not getting that light stimuli and process by their brain, and that's not explained, by the way. Nobody understands why some people are affected by this disorder and others aren't. But what they say is for those 30% of 70%, I'm sorry, of the totally blind population supposedly affected by non-24 are people who can't control their ability to master their master clock. So the theory is that we can override our master clocks by our brain stimulation of day and lack of light. But
Okay.
those of us who suffer, or those people who suffer non-24, supposedly can't control that process.
You made some good points, and I'm glad you did. This is a nice segue into my position on non-24. You mentioned 30% of blind people have trouble mastering their clocks, so to
70,
speak.
no, 70%.
All right, 70% have trouble, or
That
30% have
no,
trouble?
that's what they say. 70% of all totally blind people cannot have some form of non-24.
Okay.
70% of all totally blind people.
All right, a couple of points to that. First of all, I have my doubts that non-24 is connected to blindness. I'm not saying that blind people don't suffer the symptoms that you've described. I'm wondering why, if it's all about the 24-hour day and daylight and nighttime, why do our human clocks go up to 27 hours? The 24-hour day is structured. The light comes in structured. The light leaves the earth structured. why is it that we have 25 to 27 hour sleep clocks when the light comes in every 24 hours? That's one point. The other point is, I know sighted people, fully sighted people, that can't control their clocks. So how would you diagnose a totally sighted person? I had a discussion with a woman from New Jersey on my Perkins telephone chat last Sunday night, who swears that non-24 is a reality. But I asked her the same question. If sighted people are considered with insomnia for similar reasons than blind people supposedly have non-24, then when a blind person goes to a physician and describes his symptoms, what's the difference in the diagnosis of insomnia versus non-24 for a blind person? A doctor has to make that decision. What is the difference between what a sighted person goes through, knowing that he has insomnia for similar reasons, as opposed to a blind person with the reasons that you've just explained for his sleep clock inabilities to have non-24?
And I actually agree with you, Bob. I don't know whether non-24 in and of itself is viable, but what I can say is that there are too many non-totally blind people with sleep disorders of varying degrees, and Why would we need to categorize this particular disorder for a segment of the group? And I suppose those people who say that they have non-24 probably feel like they're not alone if they can identify with an official group and an official diagnosis. But to me, I don't want to trample on anybody's real perceptual sensibilities. I don't want to do that. I don't want to diss anybody. But my feeling is that why can't we, just try to fix whatever our disorder is? I mean, I it's wonderful to be diagnosed with it, but it's another thing to then, try to fix it. And hopefully by the end of this discussion, Bob, you and I can come up with some solutions. But no, I'm in total agreement with you regarding how far this non-24 label should be taken. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And some people have wanted to prescribe medications for this. I don't think medication's necessary. I think another theory, and I'm going to run the risk of maybe getting some people's dander up when I say this, but I'm going to put this out there because to me this makes logical sense. Let me talk about people in general and not blind people. Maybe this is the best way to buffer what I'm about to say.
Sure.
A person who does not have structure, for example, a person that does not have a 9-to-5 job, whether he is blind or not blind, may have a little bit less discipline in their lives, which means they can get up whenever they want. They can go to bed whenever they want. They might be free to take a nap whenever they want if they feel they have to. It's amazing how you said 70% of blind people.
Totally blind, Bob.
Totally blind. Okay, yes. Totally blind may have a tendency for non-24. You do know that 70% of blind people are out of work.
Yes.
Do you think there's a correlation? I don't want to say that there is, but let's use some common sense, as I said, in regards to the general population. If you don't have a 9-to-5 job, you're not going to be as disciplined as you would be if you had a 9-to-5 job, light coming into your body or otherwise.
I totally agree, but there are a lot of people who have various forms of disorder. And you're right, Bob. I'm wondering if the crux of the whole notion of this non-24 sleep movement is just to maybe, and boy, am I going to make some enemies probably right here, but I'm going to say it, is more cases than not a fix for this problem merely just discipline, structure? Whether you're working, whether you're not working, whatever. I mean, just applying this to myself now, and I mean my one glaring disability is lack of vision. If I want to make sure that I go to bed around a certain time, wake up around a certain time, because I'm feeling like I'm, you know, sleeping, waking at all weird times of the day, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm literally going to set an alarm clock to get my butt out of bed at whatever time in the morning. And I'm going to make plans throughout my day to keep myself occupied. And if I'm getting a little sleepy, I'm being a little facetious, but I go in the kitchen, grab a glass of water, dump it over my head. You know,
but just, whatever works for you.
Push. Though my point is, Bob, if I want to break my sporadic wake sleep cycle, the first thing I'm going to do is make sure that from time X to time Y, when it's time for me to be awake, I'm going to be doing every darn thing humanly possible to keep my mind and my body in motion all the time. Just stay awake. And then after a while, you keep, maybe you can relax on the planning structure during the day a little bit. But the idea is your body is going to get used to being awake during the day, and it's going to crave that sleep at night.
I couldn't agree with you more, Alan. I really can't. I don't have a full-time job. What I do basically is I write and I perform other projects to keep my day going. But like you, even though you have a full-time job working for Avery Dennison, my day starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. I do as much as I can until about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Do I get tired in the afternoon? Sure. Don't we all? I mean, name me one-sighted person who doesn't get tired. This is why I keep going back to this thing about blindness. Am I questioning the fact that light does not stimulate us? No, I'm not questioning that at all. But name me one-sighted person who doesn't get tired. I get tired. I'm blind. You get tired. You're partially sighted. Amy gets tired. She's fully sighted. Okay? So in other words, we do what we can all day with the energy that we have. Sometimes it catches up to us by 1 or 2 o'clock. Maybe some days I feel like dumping a glass of water on me the way you do.
Yeah.
But I work around that. Maybe I need a power nap sometimes.
Yeah,
I remember
exactly.
On several occasions I'd go out in my backyard at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and suddenly this sleep comes over me.
Right.
So I take a little power nap for about 15, 20 minutes, and maybe that works. Is it because I can't see? I don't know, Alan, because I know other people. My Aunt Alice, God rest her soul, she passed away in 1980. She took a nap every afternoon from about 2 to 3. She had full sight. So let's explain that one if we can. Again, it goes back to my question. What is the difference between insomnia and non-24, if you really want to look at it?
Yeah, and Bob, I think it's just somebody in the industry, somebody out there in the community decided to, for many reasons, and this is a rumor, but I heard, and I hate to be cynical about this whole non-24 movement, because I'm sure that the group that feels that they have now support and they're not all by themselves, I think that's great. We all should join a support group if that's what we want to do. But here's my deal here. I've heard that there is a pharmaceutical company literally with a drug that will manage non-24. Now, we've been on this earth since 1957, 1958, respectively. Growing up into the early mid-1980s, we never heard of the term non-24. All of a sudden, and I'm guessing here, so if we have listeners, and I know that people know more about this than I do, if we have listeners out there who want to correct what I'm about to say, feel free, please. You know, we're always open to learning and being corrected if we're giving information that's not true. But I'd be willing to bet that the label of non-24 happened pretty darn close to that pharmaceutical drug. I'm going to venture that out there. And if anybody cares to challenge that, God bless you. You know, come back and edumacate me. I'd be happy to listen to you.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people out there that say that these pharmaceutical companies want to make the almighty dollar, and they'll promote as much as they can, whether it works or not.
Yes, sir.
I mean, somebody that we both know was in a doctor's office a little while ago, and some non-24 drug recruiters walked into the office.
Wow.
To promote their pharmaceutical product. And our friend was approached by one of the nurses in the doctor's office.
No way.
And she said to him, and I quote, "Here come the drug pushers."
Wow.
That came from a nurse in that office. So are the blind being used to promote some pharmaceutical product? I'm not saying yes, and I'm not saying no. I'm putting the question out there objectively.
Right. And so let me mention this, Bob, because I know we only have a few minutes left. And you and I are always, one of the special signatures of In Perspective is we always talk about issues. We try to catch both sides, and then we come up with conclusions that hopefully will offer people some alternative solutions to think about in order to maybe walk away with a better perspective. So here's what I want to say to all of you folks out there who are having trouble sleeping and staying awake during appropriate parts of your 24-hour cycle. Try putting together a schedule of events for tomorrow. I'm saying this literally, for people who feel they've got this problem right now and it's out of control, try this. Put together a schedule of things that you want to do tomorrow to keep yourselves busy. From the time that you want to wake up, if you have an alarm clock or watch, set it to the time you want to be awake. Put together your list of things you want to do today that you want to try to follow tomorrow. Go through your day right to the end, even if it kills you, if you want to keel over, stay awake. Do things to keep yourself awake. Try that venue for 4, 5, 6 days, maybe a week, if you can stand it, but try to give yourself the discipline. And then go to bed when you say it's time to go to bed. And I think unless you have literal physiological hormonal disorders that would have to be treated with pharmaceuticals, I get that. But if your situation is strictly that, geez, I'm just awake when I don't want to be, I'm asleep when I don't want to be, try doing that. Try that structural plan each day. Do it for a few days and see if you don't naturally start waking up when you want to and going to sleep when you want to.
And by the way, if this is all because of lack of light stimulation, all the more reason why you want to do that. You want to discipline your body. And again, it goes back to employment. If you are a blind person who is employed, you are already taking steps to do that. I bet you that there are hardly any employed blind people out there who have what has been known as non-24. Especially those who are employed at 9-to-5 jobs like you are.
I don't know, Bob. I mean, only these, I'd be really, really interested to hear from anybody out there listening to this podcast who feels that they're experiencing something akin to non-24. I want to hear from you guys. I want you to write to Bob. Bob, you're going to give us the access information, right?
I'll do that right now while we're talking about it. Good. If you have a comment or want to write to us here at In Perspective, particularly about non-24 today, you may do so at branco182@verizon.net. That's branco182@verizon.net. And if you think that non-24 really exists and that, yeah, it's a problem for blind people only, if you feel that that lady that comes on television is really serious about promoting non-24 and how to treat it, fine, I respect your opinion. If not, we welcome that as well.
Yeah, no, because we do. We want to hear from you guys. And Bob and I do not feel we possess anything close to non-24. But there may be people who are literally being controlled by something that folks who believe it's a valid diagnosis really, feel? You know, if it's controlling you, what are you doing to help yourselves to get out of it? And we want to know.
Well, you know, Al, society has a tendency, according to some people, to medicate.
Okay? Yes,
absolutely. They do it in the schools. All of a sudden, you want to medicate kids.
You bet.
You know, all of a sudden, you want to medicate everybody else. Television is relentless now about these wonder drugs, even though 90% of the ad tells you why you can't take the drug. It's relentless how people want to medicate, even for non-24, because somebody determined that a blind person's light stimulus is not there. Now you got to medicate them.
Yeah.
I don't think medication is always necessary. Is it necessary once in a while? Yes.
I think it should be used as an absolute last resort, Bob. Just like it was when we were kids. Remember the hyperactive child? Today,
now he's being medicated.
Yeah, today it's, yeah, well, now it's turned into HDD, bipolarism. I mean, they've got every darn name under the sun for kids who are hyperactive. What do they do for hyperactive kids? They mostly sat them down. They gave them a discipline plan. Look, you got to learn how to behave yourself. 95% of the time, they turned out just fine. In the other 5% of the extreme cases, they had to give medication as a last resort. That's the way it should be today.
Well, people may argue that there are a lot more things wrong that cause some of the behaviors than we ever knew about in the past.
Oh,
you know,
I know.
Whenever I try to bring up the old days and how things were done, Al, the most common response I get is, you have to accept the times we live in. This is how it is. Whether that's right or wrong, who knows? I tend to agree with a lot of what you're saying, though. I really do.
I think we're on the same page as usual, Bob.
Yes. And you know what? Our time is up for this edition of In Perspective. It's been a fast half hour, Alan.
You bet.
I want to thank everyone for listening. And please tell your friends about In Perspective, because we believe it's a very informative program. Have a great day, everyone.
Take care, all.